Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
A wonderful scripture for the season of Advent is one we have touched on several times this particular year. It's this idea out of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 2. I read it a couple of weeks ago, and it goes, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." We're almost there. We're almost to that place where that light is going to shine on us, but we're not quite there yet. That first week where we talked about our journey to Bethlehem, Pastor Emily reminded us about finding an inner peace, an inner light, by simply slowing down a little bit and not letting the pace of everything around us drive us or potentially keep us in hopeless darkness. Week two, I spoke about the need not to focus on Bethlehem as the solitary goal of where we're trying to go to, but it's an important way station. We need to be there. But it's not as important, for example, as Golgotha and the empty tomb or the upper room. Or said another way, it's not quite as important as Good Friday, Easter, Pentecost. They're all far more important in our walk to light from darkness. Last week I spoke a little bit about how Jesus himself understood his own call, his own job description, if you will, and how he would bring light. And I promised to come back to that topic again in January and February, and I will do that if Roberta lets me. In our northern hemisphere understanding of Advent, the darkness is about to be dispelled. That darkness is about to be dispelled, and we're going to get to that shortest day of the year, and then Christmas will occur, and will start to be more light. We'll move out into that world of light. I have no idea how I would preach this sermon in Johannesburg, South Africa. I just don't know. Fortunately, I don't have to. But today we're right on the edge, the cusp, the fringe of Bethlehem. But we're not quite there yet. We are getting so much closer to the light. And here we need to understand a little bit about that light through the character of Mary. The text for today, Luke 1, is about coming. This time is about Christ, the light of the world, coming. But it's also a lens for us to see what it is for God's people to come and live in a hopeful, wishful, visionary, anticipatory fashion. Let's focus on a few ideas that Cheryl just read to us from the text. Gabriel has an assignment. Gabriel has an assignment. He was sent by God. He goes from heaven to earth. Notice the unfolding. It's from heaven, God, to a specific place and to a specific person here on earth. Nazareth and a betrothed woman who is engaged to a man born into the Davidic line. Gabriel will say to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." And Luke reports that Mary's perplexed by this. She's perplexed by his words, and she ponders what sort of greeting this might be. Gabriel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son." What? "The Most High will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever." Now, those of you that were alert here, you noticed that Mary must have gotten a very good grade in sex education at the local yeshiva day school she's going to. She knows storks don't deliver babies. Okay, if there's anybody here that's surprised by that, well, spoiler alert. Mary says, in the G version in the Bible, she says, how can this be since I'm a virgin? But in the PG version, that's the Greek version, she says, how can this be since I have not known a man? Gabriel says, nothing will be impossible with God. Then something happens here. Something happens where this transition from Gabriel back to Mary, a switch clicks. Mary says, here am I, servant, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Gabriel goes, phew, one job down. I guess I can have my wings back. And he says, okay, he's convinced Mary. He doesn't say anything. He's convinced Mary to accept her own assignment in God's divine plan. Now, part of what I hinted at last week was this idea of the fact that where Jesus' first sermon was this connection with the past, you've got the same thing going on here with Luke. It's this reminder of the past, reminder of other scripture that's there. There's about four of them that I've actually read to you at least, and I didn't read to you something else that follows right after this, and it could be considered a fifth one. For example, the Messiah is coming, and Joseph is in the line. The same line as David to produce him. That is a connection with the Hebrew Bible. In an echo from Genesis 18, where Sarah will say the same kind of thing, nothing is impossible with God. Again, a linkage from this time of 2,000 years ago back to an earlier time. Barrenness is a regular topic in the Old Testament. Barrenness is dealt with here by God. Her cousin, Elizabeth, is now no longer barren. This is a major theme in the Hebrew Bible. Sarah, Rachel, Hannah, others, over and over and over again, God produces fruitfulness from a place to where they expect barrenness to continue. Now, in the Greek, it's not quite, Mary doesn't say Hanani, which is Hebrew. She doesn't say that. But Hanani is an Old Testament linkage. And it's a way of linking Abraham, Moses, Samuel, and they will hear God's call, and their response will be, here I am. But it's more than here I am. It's, I am all in. Here I am, I am in, I am in all the way. And that's what Mary communicates. I am all in. Here am I. It's the classical response. So bing, 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 bing. You had four connections very, very quick in this passage back to the Old Testament. And again, in the section I won't cover so much, we have this thing that in Latin is called the Magnificat. It's set to music by quite a bit. But Mary will sing her own song of glorification to God, as did Hannah and Samuel. We call it the Magnificat, and Mary here emulates Hannah. The story that we have here is connected with what God has already done, and we're now in a state of renewed anticipation of what God will do next. In that second section that Cheryl read to you, she got there about Elizabeth and the infant John the Baptist in her recognized Mary and knows her. Elizabeth, her cousin, the mother of John the Baptist, says to Mary's visit to her, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? She's the older. You would have expected the other way around. This is exactly what you would have expected, the younger to come visit the older. But somehow Elizabeth has got this idea of the fact that the Theotokos, the God-bearer, would be the one worth visiting. She seems to understand what Mary is about to do. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Do you see the idea of this future hope, this anticipation of what God is about to do? That great light that is Jesus will enter the world through Mary and will enter the world through that very womb. And what's Mary's first reaction? Probably the same reaction all of us would have. She's perplexed. Gabriel hasn't gotten to the outrageous portion of this yet. Okay, he hasn't gotten to the scandalous portion of this yet. All Gabriel has basically said is, greetings, favored one. That's all he's basically said. And all of a sudden, she's perplexed by that. How often are we perplexed by the idea that we come in here and God tells us, God communicates to us through scripture, through song, through the proclamation of the word, that there's a piece of God inside of you that's in no one else. And we walk out of here and say, right, sure, uh-huh, yeah. We continue to be perplexed by this idea. And Mary's just like us. Just like us. Elizabeth is just like us. She gets this visit from the God-bearer, Theotokos, the one who's going to bear God into the world. And what does she do? She says, I'm not worthy. I shouldn't be the one to be visited by you. It should be the other way around. Again, she's perplexed by what it is to have the light come into the world and touch. We so often don't get it. I wonder if sometimes we don't preach a 52-week series every single year on this big idea here about how it is that we're perplexed over God's grace, God's favor being bestowed upon us. You are a sacred child of God. We celebrate it during baptisms. There's a piece of God in you that is in no one else. You are special. And like Mary, we grow perplexed. Gabriel comes from the realm of the heavenly and comes and takes a heavenly message to Mary and says, greetings, favored one. And Mary, just like us, says, huh? What? How do I understand this light? How do I understand it? I'm prepared to walk in darkness. I'm prepared to be there. I'm not prepared to understand this light coming in. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. So what are we to take from the Luke for today? That's the question for us. We're going to sing this anthem the choir just sang today. We're going to sing it again tonight during our service, during our Noel Christmas celebration. But I want to emphasize to you a little bit about what the choir sang here. The choir calls Mary a rose, calls Mary a rose. And it suggests that she's the rose that bore Jesus. And then it says, for in this rose contained was heaven and earth in little space. Go back to Gabriel. Gabriel comes from the heavenly place and comes to the earthly place, brings it together there. What the song is saying, what the anthem we sang was, is that the heavenly and the earthly have been combined in this very small place. What very small place? Mary's womb. Mary's womb. So what are we to take from that? What are we to take from that? This is, in Latin, we sang to you, this is a wonderful thing. Be in awe. This is a wonderful thing. Be in awe of this. So what are we to do as a result of this light arriving in the world in this unusual way? The poet says, leave we all this worldly mirth. I hadn't said mirth on my own in a long time. But here, what mirth means is joy, merriment, laughter. So leave we all this worldly joy, merriment, laughter, and follow we this joyful birth, this intersection of the heavenly, this intersection of the heavenly and the earthly. And what are we to do with this future anticipation, this combination of remembrance and anticipation at this moment? And then the song, the anthem, gives us this verb in a tense we don't use very often in English. In the Broadway musical Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye sings, if I were a rich man. And he says that. It's a kind of tense that we don't use very often. It's this anticipation, this hopefulness, this wishfulness that's there. But what he's saying is, if I were a rich man, this is what would happen. The same kind of verb tense exists in Latin, Spanish, French, Italian, these Romance languages, which gives us this idea of a hopeful anticipation that's about to occur. And what did the choir sing to you? It said, take us over. Bring us over. Bring us over from where? From this earthly focus to the heavenly focus. If that's not bringing light into the world, I'm not sure I know what it is. That's the challenge for each of us, to move from worldly joy and to celebrate those, but to move from worldly joy to heavenly joy. This is an invitation of anticipation, of being so goosebump producing, joyful, that we all participate together in this movement from earthly to heavenly focus. And what is the music suggest our response ought to be? Gaudeamus. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice indeed together. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. We're not quite there yet. We're almost there. But that light is about to be in our world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.